have fought weather reports to get here. The enemy gave you a great excuse to stay home. But you said, no, I gotta have the Word of God. I gotta see what God's going to do tonight. Amen. I made it to Frankfort on Tuesday night and watched God show up. I made it Wednesday night to Lexington. I watched God show up again. The third time's a blessing. We skip all that charm stuff. Amen. He's going to show up again tonight. We have with us tonight a general in the faith, a general in the kingdom, an elite member of the body of Christ. That, as I mentioned earlier in the service, we understand the kingdom of God is built on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet. Amen? And when I liken the apostle and the prophet working together, I see the sword of the Spirit, and I see the prophet as the tip of the sword. The prophet's always piercing through into new arenas, new areas, new revelation, new releases. And the handle or the hilt is the apostle. Amen? It's directing everything else that takes place. And in between is the body of the sword, which is us. Amen? God does everything through the prophetic and the apostolic, working in conjunction, especially in these end times. And we don't go anywhere without these giftings. And tonight we have a prophet, not just a prophet, you know, connected to a church, but a prophet to apostles, a prophet to kings and presidents, a prophet that swims in the anointing like no woman I know on this planet. None. Amen? And I'm so delighted to have Bobby Jean with us tonight. Amen? Have they got you your microphone yet? No. What a gift of God she is. Amen? So stand to your feet with me. Let's welcome the woman, the prophet of God, the blessing to this ministry.
God bless you. God is good and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so glad to be here with you. And I have really cried out to the Lord today. And it didn't lessen. It increased in intensity. I want to see His glory come down in this place. I read a book by Jack Hayford. I don't know if you know him or not, but he is a general in the body of Christ. And he has a large church in California near Hollywood, I think. I haven't forgotten the exact place. And he wrote about his church not growing. But I'm so glad to see you because there is a good number here. Amen. And I praise God for that. You're going to be blessed. God is going to bless you exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, imagine, or think. But Brother Hayford, he wrote a book. And he talked about how his church was not growing. I think it had gotten up to about 250. Of course, California, where he is, there's a large number of people. So we have to take that into consideration also, and percentage-wise. But he talked about how one Saturday he was so despondent, and he was in his church praying, crying out to the Lord. And I don't remember if he said the length of time that he'd done that. But God Almighty caused an angel to come and stand in the back of that church. Or maybe that was the front, but anyway, in the corner of the church. And he said from that moment forward, the glory was in the church. And I don't know how many thousands are in that church today, or the extent of his ministry that reaches north, south, east, and west, abroad as well as in America. And Pastor Jack, Patty, I've cried out today that God's glory would come and settle here. And that there will be a statement made, because I know the integrity by the Spirit of this couple's heart. And they fought and they've stood. And I want to see that steadfastness and that integrity explode in Georgetown, Kentucky. Amen. I want to see what God wants this to be. A light to this city. Amen. In the midst of darkness, to hold out the word of truth and life. People need this place. They need what is spoken here, what is done here. And I'm so glad you're here, because I just know our God is going to show himself mighty. And I trust him to do that. Amen. Praise God. Can we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, that what you've begun, you will finish it. And we know that this is the third day since our sister had that awesome vision and revelation, even since she's had it, since we came into knowledge of it. And so we are expecting to see the Trinity work in a way tonight that will be a blessing to these people, be a blessing to this work that you have established in Georgetown. And I pray that not one of us will be the same. I pray that not one of us will leave without receiving something so very special that only you can give, God. This is the day. This is the night. Let it be a night that is a turning point in our lives and in this work and in this ministry. May there be an establishment taking place right in this place tonight, and that from henceforth, that glory, that presence, even that angel shall abide in this place, and people shall know the God who is high and lifted up, whose train does fill the temple. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Lord God Almighty, use me as your vessel to give them your heart, your will, your plan, and your purpose, Lord. May there be a great dimension of freedom come into each and every life. May there be impartation and deposit so that what we have received up to this moment, it will explode in us, and we will walk as the doers of those words as never before in a stronger way. So we shall indeed not be moved. We shall not go to the left, to the right. We shall not look back, but we will follow you, Jesus, one day, one step at a time. And I thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we give you glory and honor and thanksgiving this night. And we say, Lord, take your glory through every word that is spoken and everything is done, as the Holy Spirit guides and leads us into all truth and in the manifestation of the Word of God, wonders and signs and miracles, things done here tonight. We believe for the impossible. In Jesus Christ's name, for nothing is impossible with you, O God. Nothing is too hard. We submit to you. We give ourselves to you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I was alone this day. It was a wonderful day. A day of waiting on the Lord, preparation, wanting to speak for the Lord into your lives exactly what he would have me speak. Amen. And he took me to Joel chapter 2. He's been all over this subject all week long. He started out Sunday morning in a magnanimous way in Frankfurt, and it's increased. It hasn't decreased. It's been awesome. It's been wonderful. And in Acts 2:16, Peter says, "These are not drunken as you suppose, but they're drunk all right. But they're drunk on that new wine. They're drunk on that Holy Spirit that doesn't leave a hangover, but brings about a change, you know, brings about something mighty and glorious. And I love that Jeremiah 33:3, because I learned some years ago that it means high and lofty and inaccessible only by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit can we get into these dimensions and into these realms. As we were traveling to the Capitol yesterday for me to be the chaplain of the House of Representatives, God spoke something to me. And I'd been the chaplain at the Senate the day before, and it was wonderful. It was awesome. They reminded me that this was my sixth year. And so it was so wonderful to see the seed that had been planted for 6 years coming up in a mighty harvest, you know. But God spoke to me, Pastor Jack, and it threw me into another dimension. A dimension that is inexpressible at the time. A wonder, an awesomeness, a sureness, a security, a power and an authority, a boldness. I prayed, you know, somebody said, "Are you going to speak and, you know, like preach, teach them?" I said, "No. They don't have time for that. They don't allow that." But God can preach and teach in a prayer. And that's what I trust Him. I ask Him, "I don't pray. You pray through me," in English. God said to me on the way something that I'd never heard anywhere from anyone. But God said, "This day you will have the earth shaking and the devil breaking anointing." I don't think I realized until today that it was not just an anointing for yesterday, but that I was to carry that anointing until He tells me otherwise. Amen. So I expect that my words, my presence, what He leads us to have done will be earth-shaking, and it will be devil-breaking. We need some manifestation in these days of the devil-breaking anointing. We need to lose God and let Him go, don't we? We need to have no limits on God. Need to have our minds renewed to the fact that no matter what has happened in the past, in Jesus the best is yet to come. He does order our steps. He does direct our path. And with Him all things are possible. And I love that in Luke 1 where it says, Mary said it, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Maybe we should make that a banner of our lives, that we constantly and consistently remember that and say that. "Be it unto me according to thy word." But I like to add, "Thy will, thy plan, and thy purpose, and thy counsel." Because no other man's counsel or plan is going to stand. Only Almighty God. Are you ready now? So, you might say that the name of the message tonight that He is going to speak to me is between the porch and the altar. Hallelujah. Joel is on page 1110. Hallelujah. Joel 2 at least. An awesome time was happening and was going on. Yes, the children of Israel had been in rebellion. But like it is today, a lot of the enemy was taking place as well. But God let it be known that He's raising up an army. I am so glad for that. And what I tell you, and we go through in this Bible, is a guarantee that God is doing it now. Amen? And He says in Romans 15:4 that these things were written for us, that there might be examples, patterns, and they might encourage us, they might strengthen us, they might give us hope. Anyone who doesn't know the Old Testament doesn't know the New Testament. That's just how simple it is. So I pray that God will run through you and that you will take this personally. And whether you feel like it or not, you are one of His mighty men. Amen? And He has caused you to be born into the earth and born into His kingdom for such a time as this. It is not the time to be walking around in rejection. It is not the time to be walking around in worry or anxiety or grief or fear. But it is the time to stand strong in the strength of the Lord, to have His strength that can come only from Him. You know, we're strengthened with all might by His Spirit in our inner man, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Nothing is done without the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in it, it is not eternal. It is not God Almighty. It's going to be done by the Holy Spirit, spoken by the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's not. Not at all. Look at verse 7 in chapter 2. I was into the whole chapter, but I have verses marked that I know God is wanting to emphasize to you. And don't forget that, as they told me in Sweden, what I speak to you, into you and over you, is going into the atmosphere. And God is going to see to it that there's a battle in the atmosphere. We're going to win the battle and the victory on the face of the earth. Can you shout amen? So I'm well aware of that. And I know that happens. It says, they, that means you, say me, shall run like mighty men. Say, I'm mighty. I'm strong in His might. Not by power, nor by might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. We're strong in the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that makes us strong. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us a boldness. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us all of the positiveness of the kingdom of God and what He wants to give us. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to run and not be weary, right? We're going to walk and not faint. Hallelujah. And you know that story, don't you? I think I might have told you that before, but it bears reminding us now. When God had me teaching intercession, starting in 1979 and across the nation and across the world even, He gave me that revelation because I was in the midst of people who only wanted the Word of God. We didn't have too much time for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Lord gave me the scripture that is in, I believe, whatever it's in. I think it's 107 and verse 5. And then it is in Isaiah chapter 44. And He says, if they do not eat, they lose strength. That's the Word of God. Joy had a vision, and she was praying for me today. And I didn't say a word. But I tell you, it's been so powerful in this place this time. God has set Kentucky on the map, and it will affect this nation. So everything we do, it has that furtherance to it. But Joy didn't know that I woke up this morning, and I really thought that I might be coming down. But I took authority over that, but with strep throat. Do you know what strep throat is? And I could hardly speak. And it grew worse through the day. My voice is like Betty Grable's legs. I must have my voice. Can you shout amen? And Joy doesn't know it. I didn't tell him when she told me this in the car. But she said as she was praying, she saw angels in the room, and she saw one get up and come and put the word in my mouth. Come on. Can you shout amen? God is good. And he'll raise up intercessors because light begets like, right? And when we sow the seed, God is going to see to it that somebody's praying for us. It may be over there in Russia, but they're praying for us. So God wants to see us get the job done, right? But might comes from Almighty God. We're not weak. Let the weak say, I'm strong, he says. And so don't say you're weak. Whatever, I was talking about faint, why not? And he says, if you don't eat, you lose strength. But if you don't drink, you faint. Okay? And he gave me that revelation that, yes, we can be as strong as Paul Anderson, who is from Tacoma, Georgia. We went to the same Methodist church. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, wonderful Methodist young man. But he became the strongest man in the world in the Olympics in 1956 in Russia, outdoing a Russian, and no one has ever broken his limits of weightlifting. Hallelujah. And so he's a strong man, right? And God had me to see in my imagination, Paul Anderson is his name. And he said, but now, no matter how strong Paul is, if he faints, is his strength any good? Y'all have already got it, hadn't you? If he's on the floor, fainted, his strength doesn't amount to anything, does it? So God says, I not only want you to eat the word, get the word, but I want you to stay drinking at my fountain as well. Drink of the Holy Spirit. That's how you stay refreshed. That's how you stay strong. It's the Holy Spirit himself. Amen? So that makes us mighty. And then he says, they shall climb the wall like men of war. God is a man of war. He is no pacifist. Can you shout amen? God is a man of war. And he lives in us. Is that right? And we live in him. So if that be true, then we are people of war. Come on now. Not with the flesh. Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit and the Word of Almighty God. And we are trained warriors in that it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Every word that comes out of our mouth, say every. Not just when we want something. Not just when we want to think about it being the right thing to do. But we must train and renew ourselves to the degree that every word that proceeds out of our mouth is a word that can agree with the word of the living God, that God can be pleased with, so that when we rise up as that person of war, we can be like Jesus. You know, Jesus never lost his cool. He never defended himself. Come on. He shut his mouth. He let God be the one who was the vindicator. He would let him have the vengeance. Come on now. And Jesus, can't you just see him walking about? He never got excited. He never got in a rush. I can't see Jesus losing his cool. I can't see him rising up in anger and shaw, you know, like that. Even in spiritual warfare. Let us get to the place that our words have such authority and such power that we can speak with the softest of words and we can see the results. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says, we're going to climb the wall. We're not going to sit down on the ground. I love what Brother Copeland said. You don't look up to the devil, you look down at him. Hallelujah. You don't look up at the devil, you look down at him. Right? Hallelujah. And he says, they shall march every one on his way. As never before, God is saying, get in your way. Get in the place that I have called you. No competition. No comparison. You know, I need my ear. I need my little finger. I need my toe. Come on. I need every part about me, that which is hidden and that which is not hidden. I need them. Amen. I can't say to any one of them, I don't need you, and cast that one aside. I can't do that because I made a body to function as a whole body, right? And that's what we're to do, brothers and sisters. We are to function in each one in the local body, the church, in the place, in the position that God has put you. Amen. Doing what our hand finds to do because the anointing is there. And I'm going to tell you something, because I know this is an interceding church. A lot of people pray in this place. God is doing great and mighty things. Oh, the fire has been with us all week. And even last night when I started to pray for the people, but it was when I began to say, instead of what else I might have been saying in the name or, you know, whatever, I started saying fire. And when I started saying fire, I tell you what, the fire came. God is sending the fire. He is not coming for a lukewarm church. He's coming for a church that is on fire of Him. Did you hear fire truck last night? When we got into that, I heard a fire truck. And I thought, oh Lord, they think the roof is on fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was awesome. Fire. Fire. But in January, a report came to me that in Singapore, China, in one of the largest churches in the world, one Sunday morning, the pastor saw a fireball hitting an intercessor. He saw a fireball come down and hit an intercessor. And he recognized that. See, we're in the day we're not being threatened by anyone or anything. We're letting God move and use whoever, right? And so the pastor called that woman up and wanted her to minister to the people in that fireball anointing. And she did. And 2 weeks ago, well, a week ago, Sunday night, I was ministering in my own local church, Carnesville, Georgia. And I ministered that morning, but this was that night. And it was awesome. And God told me what to do before I left home. And He told me who to minister to. And my daughter-in-law and my son and my grandson were three of them. And Lori is very susceptible to the anointing. And I mean by that you have to drag her out. Can you shout amen? She's on the floor and she's going to be there till whatever, you know. So there she was, all over the floor, you know, just dragged, just damn. Okay, finally, that was exactly what happened. Mama, we'll have to carry her out if we're going to get home. Okay. And nobody said anything, because you see, when God, there's a scripture says, God is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. There's another scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. As long as our lives are in tumult and questioning and fearful, we cannot have that understanding that and foremost knowledge that God is God. Be still and know that I am God. And the rest of that verse says, I will be exalted among the nations. Didn't make no bones about it. He's going to be. Amen. He's going to be exalted among the nations. But it was so holy. Dan was driving, Lori in the front seat, Andrew and I in the back. Not a word was spoken. Have you ever been to that place where God had come in so much that you couldn't talk? It's beautiful. It's beautiful to be in that place. And so about halfway home, it's about a 30-minute drive, she reached back with her left hand, and I saw that she wanted me to take her hand, and I did. And sweet people, she began to say to me, well, I guess all of us, but to me, she said, something happened to me tonight. She said, I don't know what happened. And I didn't connect it. Do you ever do that, Pastor? I didn't connect it. But she was talking and she said, a ball of fire hit me. Now, she hadn't heard this story. A ball of fire hit me, and she did like it was doing on her stomach, you know, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water, and up and so forth. And the next day, I was thinking about that. I thought, oh, my goodness, because she is an intercessor, and we all are, really. I said, that was the ball of fire that God is hitting his people with. Can you shout at me? Fire. She will never be the same. Does that mean she's perfect? No. Does not mean she's perfect. It means she's working out her own salvation with fear and trembling. That we all are doing that. We must understand that we are not perfect. That God can use us and show himself mighty and take his own glory. Can you shout amen? We are earthen vessels. Do you remember? 2 Corinthians 4 says we are earthen vessels. And we're that way so that the excellency of the glory and the power of God may be known not to be of us, brothers and sisters. It's Almighty God himself. I'm talking about beyond the norm. Beyond the natural. For me, as long as it's norm and natural, it's not where God. Okay, just be quiet about it. He says you're not going to teach on it. Say, I'm going to march on my way. Say, I'm going to march on my way. Now look at the rest of that verse. They shall not break their ranks. Come on. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not even be wounded. Boy, what about that? People can say all manner of evil and persecute you and bad talk you and even lie about you, but it won't hurt you. Can you shout amen? It's not going to wound you. God says there's a time in the life of my people where they will not be hurt. They will not be brokenhearted. They will not be wounded. Can y'all give God a clap offering and just praise his holy name? We need that in America. We need that in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And so they shall not break rank, and neither shall they thrust another. Do you know why? They're not going to thrust the one in front of them, or to the right or to the left, because they're where they're supposed to be. And if they get out of step with where they're supposed to be, the rank they're supposed to be in, they're going to thrust another. How many people have you seen hurt because somebody was not in the place that they should be, but they were trying to be in a place that God had not intended for them to be? Amen? It is true. And God says, but the time is coming. And that's what I want you to get tonight from this chapter. The time is coming. The time is here. Come on. This is that. Amen? Okay. Now look at verse 11. Oh, I think I like it. Verse 10, I just saw it again. And the earth shall quake before them. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and tell the Lord, I receive the earth shaking and the devil breaking. Anointing. Say it three times. I receive the earth shaking. Whew. Say it loud now. Say it like you mean it. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It happened. Do you know what happened? Oh, bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Oh, and then it says, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. Yesterday, when we walked into the Capitol, it reminded me of the scene in the Bible where they have Jesus before Pilate. He's wanting to let Jesus loose. He's wanting to let him free. And the people are crying out, crucify him. Crucify him. That's hell's intercession. I learned that many, many, many years ago. Crucify. Crucify him. That's hell's intercession. Tuesday, for 4 hours, there was what is called Christian Day at your capital. Had speakers, had ministers. I didn't go to that, but Mike and Joy and Bill and Carol were there at that. And they said that the speakers spoke with fire. It was marvelous. 4 hours set aside in your capital to declare and make a statement. Jesus Christ is Lord, and Christians are going to be in control. Can you shout amen? Paul put up with this. As he went forth to preach and teach, the devil came right behind him to try to get out of the people what he had put in them. You know about it, don't you? And yesterday when we walked in, there was a noise. A lot of screaming. A lot of just noise. And I heard hell's in the session. And you know what was happening? The day after the Christians had their day, yesterday was gay rights day. Come on. And they were having their rally. And the Christians had proclaimed the lordship of Jesus Christ and the reign of our Almighty God, not in a vindictive way, not in an angry way. Come on. But in a way of fire, setting it through in the atmosphere, okay? And I came in on that. Do you tell me, you know, I've said it enough. You know, God orders our steps. He directs our path. I was here in Kentucky for this Tuesday and Wednesday at your capital as well as these churches. Absolutely, but a divine appointment and divine assignment. Can you shout amen? I was sent by God. So are you in pride? No, ma'am, no, sir. Because I know me. Can you shout amen? I know, like Paul, I am here by the grace of God. His grace worked all the more in me, and it's going to work in me. Can you shout amen? It's not me after all. I feel like shouting and proclaiming the goodness of God. Can you do that? And it was on the way without me knowing all this was going on there. It was on the way that the Lord said, you will have an or the earth-shaking, devil-breaking anointing today. Give God a clap offering. Say, it's done. Hallelujah. It's done. My point, though, was also this. He says, it's my great army. Okay? Great army. He says it's very great. There's 2% gay people of our population. 2. There is 70% of our people in this nation who say they are Christian. Is that a little bit out of balance? And yet who's making the most noise? Huh? 2% are. Come on. Because Christians are sitting down on their laurels getting the blessing. Though not getting very many. But anyway, come on now. I'm going to preach better in a minute. I'm going to turn and get off of this. But saints of God, you got to believe who you are in Him. You are great. Can you shout amen? You are great. You've got the goods. The devil doesn't have the goods. Calm down, Bobby Jean. I will. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lamb. Shout amen once more and praise the Lord. Woo! Let your voice be heard. Hallelujah. Say, well, I can't do it, you know, publicly. Well, do it in your private prayer closet. Amen? Shout. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands. Come on. In your private prayer closet. Be Ezekiel 37. Hear from God and prophesy it to the wind. You don't have to go out there on the platform. You can be one of God's CIA agents underground, secret agents, and you can play havoc with the kingdom of God working against the kingdom of the devil. Can you shout amen? You got it. Oh, I'm going to put her, she's going to be a little cheerleader for God. Amen. Hallelujah. He is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? God says he is strong that executeth his word. Does that remind you of Isaiah 55? Not one word will return unto me void. It's going to accomplish what I sent it out to accomplish. We're going to start believing that. Amen? Hallelujah. I know you do, but there's a call going forth. More than ever before, we are to get into the place we know that we know that we know. Amen? This confidence. Okay. 12. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart. No more this halfway salvation. It's a surrender all time, right? It's either God or it's not God. Like Elijah said, choose you this day. You know, if God be God, then let him be God. But if Baal be God, then let him be God. And the people still didn't know in their hearts which way they were going. But boy, when they saw the fire of God lick up that water, come on, and set that altar on fire, ooh, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. It took fire to do that. The fire of God to do that. Isn't that awesome? No wonder God's pouring out his fire now. No wonder we as his believers are being baptized again and again, not only with the Holy Spirit, but with fire. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says, now I want you to turn to me. Don't turn, sweet brothers and sisters. Learn when to and when not to turn on that television. Amen. Don't turn to your neighbor, Ethan, who doesn't know the word like you know it. Come on. But turn to God. Of course, he's talking about fasting. He's talking about repenting and weeping and mourning and rend your heart and not your garments. In other words, don't let it be an outward thing that is going on. Let it be from the inside and do the work inside out. Can you shout amen? Because the work that God does inside out is going to last and last and last. Amen? Are y'all being blessed? I'm blessing myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is gracious and merciful. Glory to God. Our God is gracious and he is merciful. Have you ever been in prayer for someone and you got to the place that all you could say was, God, have mercy? I have. Just seemed like I'd done all I knew to do. I'd prayed all I knew to pray. I'd said all I knew to say. And I got to that place. Okay, God, have mercy. And God says, I am gracious, and I am mercy. I'm full of grace. I am the God of all grace. One night, when was that? Maybe Sunday night. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's serious. God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, it's not the Bible, but that's what it is. Jesus Christ paid the price, right? We don't have to. He did. He says, I'm slow to anger, and I am of great kindness. How many of you have experienced that great kindness? Yes. I'm glad to see your hands raised, your head's shaking. Yeah. Are you here now? And repented him of the evil. In other words, do you remember Moses' example was a great intercessor? We're going to get to that in just a minute. Just a thought of it. But what did he do? He would stand between God and the people. When God was wanting to blot them out and start all over with him, you know, Moses had an argument. He said, don't do this, God, because people know who you are. Come on. And they will say, if you do this, that you can't control them. You can't handle them. You're just a wimp of a God. Come on. Paraphrasing, of course. And he says, don't do it. And God would change his mind. Do you remember? And that's documented in other places. Look at this 15. I hope Andrew's going to be back with us in June. But he says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow that trumpet in Zion. Blow that shofar in Zion. Zion means praise. Blow that trumpet in Zion. Where there's praise, blow my shofar. All that it means, you know, in Numbers, one of the calls of the shofar was to gather them together and to go to battle. What God is saying here. And he says, sanctify a fast, make it holy. You know, oh, no, he says, you're not teaching on that tonight, so be quiet. Okay, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. And says, who knoweth if he would return and repent and leave? Wait, that's not the verse. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify fast. Call a solemn assembly. Solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify. That means separate them. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. In other words, in the Old Testament, animals and people, even babies sucking, nobody was exempt from the fast. They all fasted. It's the truth. Look at 17. Are y'all here? There? Let the priest, who are the priests? That's you. Say, I'm a priest. I'm a holy priest. I'm a royal priest. That's you. He says, let those priests and ministers, who is a minister? A minister is a servant of the Lord. Even apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they are ministers, right? Of righteousness. That means they are servants. They serve the Lord. Come on now. Preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. And look what he said. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. You see that? There's a time when we get so full of compassion at what is going on that we cry out to the Lord. Do you remember Romans 8:26? When we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Holy Spirit prays through us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Do you all remember that? Groaning is primarily for deliverance. Birthing is primarily for, travail is for birthing. I'm not teaching on that. That Askami book has all that in it. Hallelujah. But weep between the porch and the altar. Oh, why between those two? And that's what's happening today. The porch and the altar. As you study and you come into a knowledge, the porch means judgment. And that's what this is about. In fact, Joel's name means Jehovah is God. The cup is full, brothers and sisters. God will not be mocked any longer. Weep between the place of judgment. Do you remember when Job said, oh, that there were a daysman, intercessor, somebody that would put one hand on God. Me. Why? Because he, at that point, didn't have it in him that he could, quote unquote, touch God. He needed help. He needed an intercessor to take him to the throne of God. God spoke to me in January and says, I need intercessors. Now, when God says something like that, it is very, very strong. I'm not supposing it's coming this way or it's coming that way or it's happening here or they deserve it. It's not my business to make that judgment. But it is my business to get down between the place of judgment and the altar. What is the altar? The mercy Almighty God. And cry out. I don't know about you. I'm going to make a confession to you. People say, Jesus is coming at any moment. God hadn't given me that anointing to minister on that or that call. But when I hear that, inside, I think of those who don't know the Lord. I think that. And I hurt. That makes me want to get down between the porch and that makes me want to weep because you and I, all of us know many. Some very close to us. Loved ones. We don't want to see that judgment come. Amen. Oh, I'm not even going to preach on that. But he says, I want you to weep between the porch and the altar. Between judgment and mercy. Talk about a merciful God. A good God. A kind God. A faithful God. If we didn't have anything else but that statement, that would prove it. Jesus, what did he say? I haven't come to kill. I've come to save. Come on. I've come to save. I haven't come to call lightning down on somebody and wipe them out. I've come to save. He showed us, and you know it, but we need to be reminded. He showed us what God the Father is like. He is not a God who's sitting up there waiting for somebody to make a mistake or do a sin. So he can blot them out like a swatter blots a fly out. I've lived long enough to come through situations after situation to see the love of God work, to see the mercy of God work. I've come to the place of not condemning. Only I say that, who very soft. Only by the grace of God. Come to the place of not having to judge people. Not having to be critical. Or talk about them. Or talk about this negative stuff. Because it doesn't do a thing but cause us to get lower and lower. God wants to raise us up. But he says, I want you, all of you are my intercessors. My prayer people. I want you as never before to lay between judgment and my altar of mercy. I dare say we don't know how to pray. But the Holy Ghost knows how. The Holy Ghost knows the heart of God, just like I've never been more confident or sure in my life that what I prayed at that House of Representatives yesterday was God speaking. I was simply the voice, simply the vessel. So I want to get a copy of that. I won't put it on my website because it was awesome. It was like God giving those who are agnostic or atheists, whatever, or in sin, hidden sin, come on, a chance to get it right. That's what our God's doing. He heard it. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. God had me to, well, in D.C. they had a special conference. I was the one that was there as the keynote speaker, the minister. It was July of 92, and one of those days they had a luncheon, and at that luncheon they honored Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And they asked me to pray for him. When I had my hands on him, the Spirit of God came upon me. And I said to Brother Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, the word of the Lord. You're not here by the will of man, their plan. You're not here by your will or plan, but by my will and my plan. You are my prophet on this Supreme Court. And you will not have to say a word. Don't you know if you read anything about him? They're always criticizing him for he doesn't talk. I just smile. Because God says, you don't have to say a word, but I will use your presence. Just the anointing that I've placed in and upon your life. And it will speak louder than those words could speak. God made a promise through that prophecy. He said other things, but he made a promise. And it was because of you. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, I will have a majority on the Supreme Court. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for that to be. And it, make no bones and mistake about it. It'll be at the right moment, at the right time. We will have holiness in this nation. There's enough people laying between the porch and the altar. We will. Later, something that's rather, you know, jovial, whatever, I said to them, later, why did you ask me to be at this conference to speak and be the keynote speaker and pray for him? Why? And they smiled and they said, you're from Georgia. Before that, I was kind of ashamed that I was from Georgia because every time I opened my mouth, people knew I was from somewhere. How can you shout? But after that, I became so happy that I was from Georgia and I just let it roll. Can you shout amen? And that's the truth. And they said, and because you're a woman. I thought, yes, I'm a woman. Why that? A woman had tried to destroy him. The devil had tried to use a woman to destroy God's man. But in November, see, that church where I went to minister there many years and years, that church, the day, every day that Clarence Thomas was walking into that court or whatever they were doing to interrogate him, see, God's going to raise people up. They were on the lined up on either side of the sidewalk praying in tongues. Hallelujah. I know his wife's speaking, you know, baptized on the Spirit. Elizabeth, I know that. Can y'all shout amen? Hallelujah. And a woman couldn't defeat him. The devil can't ever do what he plans to do. Because God is greater in me and in you. Amen. And let's see, what else was it? Was from Georgia. I was a woman. I was white. As if I could help it. They had me because I was white. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. It's Almighty God. His will and His plan and His purpose is going to remain. Come on, we may as well get with it. Because He's doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let them say, because now we're getting into some good stuff here. Wow. After you do that, He said, spare the people, O Lord. See, this is that prayer of intercession. Spare them. This between the porch and altar, this is what they would cry out. And give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. We can still pray that. I don't want a heathen on for me. Do y'all? Well, we need to get between the porch and the altar. Right? Okay. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? That's too much in this world. Well, they say their God this and that, but where is He? That's what Elijah said. Where's your God? Maybe He's gone to the toilet, or maybe He's asleep or something. Come on. And they cut themselves and did everything. Do you remember that? But it was Elijah who went in, built that altar, and called down fire from heaven. Woo! And the people saw it, and they said, the Lord, He is God. And then, will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people? This is God's land. This was founded for God, right? There's been a lot of blood spilled to keep this land for God. You're right, right? That's right. A lot of suffering. A lot of abuse. But righteousness, truth, and justice shall prevail. Amen? Y'all get anything out of this? Okay. The Lord will be jealous for His land. He's jealous for America. Amen? And pity His people. We've got to get the news on. I tell you, I've got to the place by the end of the year of last year, I didn't want any television at all in my home. I just couldn't stand it. But I'm softening up a little bit. In that I want to know what's going on. Do you see? Because when I know what's going on, I can have knowledge in my prayer. I can have that weeping, that mercy, you know, whatever I need, right? I can be between the porch and the altar with some knowledge. Because He said, you know, I'm going to pray with the Spirit and I'm going to pray with understanding. It's not just by the Holy Ghost. But it is with understanding what you're praying about. And we as the body of Christ, we in this place need to know we're going to be between the porch and the altar, and we're going to pray with some understanding. And you know what? I did a message years ago that was called Facts, Truth versus Facts. The doctor may tell you you've got cancer, but the Word of God says by His stripes you are healed. That's the truth applied to the fact, and the fact has to give way to the truth because the truth is a higher power. Can you shout amen? God said, in fact, lies last only a moment, but the truth will endure forever. Right. Okay. Oh, God. Preaching good here, aren't I? Thank you. God's doing it. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people. Now look here. Look here. Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil. Do you know what that is? It's getting good now. We've been between the porch and the altar. Now we're getting the benefit. Come on. I give you corn, wine, and oil. Do you know what that represents? The best of the best. If you had corn, wine, and oil, you really didn't need anything else. Come on now. Can you shout amen? And God says, now you've been between that porch and the altar. And now I'm going to give you the best of the best. Can you shout amen? Now, saints of God, God spoke to me as I sat there in the praise and worship. Thank you, hon, for that praise and worship. And he said, there's the reason a lot of people are defecting, going AWOL from the army of the Lord is because they were told these things are going to happen and they didn't happen, so they gave up. And they got out. He says, it's those that are holding on and will not quit that are going to see the reward of what I've said. Long time ago, in fact, I've told it many years. But the story came to me that in Africa, 35 years, Jack, the pastor told his people the glory was going to come into that church. For 35 years, it was dead, dead, dead. People came, people left, people got, irritated, accusative, But there were a remnant stayed, but a remnant believed the word of the Lord. Come on. And 35 years of that standing and believing God, one Sunday morning, the glory moved in and nobody could stand in the glory. Can you shout amen? What is that message? Never give up on God. It's come forth many times since I've been here in Kentucky. You be that one that says, I shall not be moved. Come on now. I've given my presence. I've given my prayers. I've given my love. I've given my offerings, my tithes. I am not going to get out. I'm staying here. Take possession of what you have given unto. Can you shout amen? Say, this belongs to me and nobody is going to take it away from me. Woo! Can you shout amen? You shall be satisfied with what I give you. That's what it says here. You shall be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. We are a reproach among the heathen, right? Why not believe it? He says there'll come a time, then you're not going to be a reproach. Instead, they're going to run to you. Come on. They may be mocking and laughing and everything else, but when they need a miracle, who do they call on the telephone? Come on now. Oh, that time is upon us. Oh, my goodness, that time is upon us. I will remove far off from you the northern army. I'm going to cause these that have been fighting against you to get out now. Come on. I'm not going to let them be around you anymore. Say, I receive that. Hallelujah. You know where we get? We get to an invisible shield. invisible shield around us, all the way around us. That's the way I received the gift of interpretation. And I was so nervous and timid about it when it first started coming. God, in His mercy, when He meant for me to interpret a message, He would cause plexiglass bubble would come and sit all around me, from the top of my head, over my head, all the way around me. I'm not kidding you. He did that until I became confident in what I was doing. He wants me to tell you this. I've told you a lot of things in this church about the Holy Ghost, but He wants me to tell you this, and perhaps I have, but bears witness. One woman in that Assemblies of God church, see, I left the Methodist church and went into the Assemblies, kicking and screaming all the way, saying I'd never be a holy roller. Don't ever say what you're not going to do. But there was one woman in that church, and she and her husband had been a missionary. Her name was Luana. And she'd give the message in tongues, and I'd have the interpretation. You know what happened? Nobody said it, but I knew it. It got to the place that all they said was familiarity sitting in. All they said, oh, that's just Luana, Bobby Jean again. And they stopped listening. Come on. So I got fed up with it. Have you ever been fed up with it? What a lesson we learn when we get fed up. Hallelujah. And one Sunday night, there was a visiting man. He wore white. Mark Bontaine. He was a missionary to India. And he got in over there by teaching them some kind of, what you call that stuff, that's like karate and all that. Martial arts. And he came and he was speaking on Sunday night. Lord have mercy. I was the organist. And so here's Luana on the front seat, right on the side of the organ down there. I said, oh, no. She started giving a message in tongues before Mark got up to preach. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. I reached behind me, took a hold of that seat with both hands, and held on and said, I will not give the interpretation. But I had the beginning words of it. I said, I will not. And I sat there in my little girlish, ignorant rebellion and said, I will not. Brother Hennessy introduced, Pastor Hennessy introduced Mark Bontaine. And the man goes to the pulpit. And Mark Bontaine said, I was so hoping that somebody would give that interpretation, because she was speaking in a certain Indian dialect. This is not an interpretation. This is the translation. And the man began to speak exactly what I had in my head to speak. Come on now. You talk about repenting. I knew I had failed God, rebelled against God, that God was trying to vindicate Himself unto those people, and He was going to use me to do it. Come on. In Luana. With tongues and interpretation to say, all this time that you have been ignoring what I'm saying, I'm going to show you that what I'm saying, I'm saying. I'm going to do it. I tell you, I wanted to crawl under the carpet, out of the church. And I don't know, Mark Bontaine said, I've already told you. But after the service, I left the organ, I went to the pastor, And I was just shaking and trembling because I disobeyed God. And I went to God. I went to him and told him what had happened. He started laughing. He was laughing at me. He said, "Well, is that all?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, don't ever do it again." And that was it. We learn. Now, look, are you still here? You want me to stop? I can stop. Okay. He says, "I'm going to remove them all, and I'm going to drive them into a land that is barren and desolate, with its face toward the east sea and its hind part toward the utmost sea." Look here. "And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things in that way." Now look how good. Woo! Look at this. 21. "Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things." That's your word. God is promising you that he will do great things. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, I feel like I got to hurry here now for a moment. "Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the trees beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine to yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God." It is time to rejoice, isn't it? "And for he hath given unto you..." My goodness, I thought, Lord, they're singing and singing and singing it tonight. "He hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain." The former and the latter rain. You got it, sweetheart. Yes, you have. "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil." In other words, you're going to have more than enough. Say, more than enough. "And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten." Now, this is my verse. Make it your verse. Whatever that's happened in the past, by you or through you, God says, "This is what I will do for you. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommelworm, my great army," he says, "which I sent against among you." I'm not going to argue any way about it. "And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame." He says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon his name, you'll never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Then here it is right here. "And it shall come to pass afterward." This, look at here. This is that. "That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons." This is what's going on in a magnanimous, increasing way. Okay. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men and young ones shall dream dreams." Your young men and old men, whatever, shall see visions. "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire." Say, blood and fire. Woo! "And pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass." Say, it shall come to pass. "That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Say, "I'm going to be delivered from all of this mess." Hallelujah. Tell the devil when he tries to mess you up again, "I will be delivered. I'm calling on the name of the Lord. You get out." Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says, "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Say, "I am part of the remnant." Hallelujah. "I am part of the remnant." Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see, what else did I mark here, Lord? Chapter 3 and verse 9. "Proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare the war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up." Say, "I'm a man of war." He says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks in the spears." And look at what he says here. "Let the weak say, I am strong." Can you do that? Say, "I am strong."
I am strong.
I am strong. Keep saying it so I can drink some water.
I am strong. I am strong.
More. Hallelujah. Let's give him a clap offering and praise now. Hallelujah is right. And then it says in verse 14, multitudes, and this is true today, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It's true. Verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaven and the earth, look at this, shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Say, thank you, God. You're my hope, and you're my strength. Did you get anything? Well, let's just clap and praise the Lord, okay? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, everything you do, you seal it with the Holy Spirit. And we apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every word that has been spoken from your heart, let it be that it will bear absolute excellent fruit in our lives, in our circumstances for us. In Jesus' blessed holy name. And above all, first of all, Lord, take your glory. Take your glory. Amen. In Jesus' name. I opened my mouth yesterday at that house, and I said the first thing we want to say is, I'm praying. Lord, take your glory. Some mighty things went forward. I am going to offer to pray for the people. I believe you're to take the offering. Let me sit down a minute. And then I'm going to pray for those that want to be prayed for.